This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That's right. It's the GBAC Nation, hour number four, and it's essentially our opening day here at the ballpark. Our first of many shows this season on your home of the Rangers, live at the Globe, the Comerica Backyard Center Field, suite level. You know, if you're on your way out here, we'd love to have you swing on by. They're handing out Peagle bobbleheads. The fans are psyched. The Rangers victorious and their two opening series, and now hosting the Rays tonight. 6:30 pregame coming up with Sands. Tyler Mahle on the hill. We're excited to see, you know, what he can do in his second start. But got to talk a lot of football between now and then. And here's the Chief with an edition of the Finest.
Thank you very much. Okay, and the countdown to the loaded Hurtado baked potato is on. Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. As Ruben Portillo, our wonderful engineer, has scurried on over to the Hurtado concession stand, and he's going to be bringing back those loaded baked potatoes. I cannot wait to crush it with my hands and mouth only. I am very much so looking forward to that. Now, I was looking forward to getting the DeMarvion Overshow news today that he's been teasing for so long, and I'm wondering if we're getting ball sacked on this thing.
I don't think so.
You don't think
we're getting Agent Zero?
Yeah.
I think you're on to something.
I thought I was, too. I thought he was going back to the number zero like he repped at UT. And yesterday, he said tomorrow around noon, right at noon yesterday with the countdown clock. And then today, I'm on the Twitter account. I see nothing. There's been no announcements made. So I don't know if he's pulling a fast one on us or if plans got changed or if they got delayed a little bit.
I think you're on to something.
We haven't gotten any updates of, like, my apologies, guys. I thought it was going to be a noon announcement, but it might be a different day.
Slight
different
delay. Stand by. None of that.
I don't think Overshown's the ball sacking kind of guy.
No, I'm sure it's just a matter of time. Maybe with the 30-day visits, they were like, hey, just give us some time. We'll make this official afterwards.
Sometimes you can get real enthusiastic and think something sounds like a great idea, and you're not a daily social media guy. Maybe you don't circle back around. Maybe you don't even think about it.
Really left the people hanging here on the edge of our seats. What's the Overshown?
I mean, you can only get away with it once, but that's a pretty good tease. You know, raised his brand awareness a little bit.
That's true.
I'd be looking for a payoff, and you know,
I think it's going to happen.
I think you're
on to something.
Well, can somebody confirm whether or not this particular excerpt is a ball sacking, or if this is just tried and true football? Because I saw a quote.
If you're questioning it,
from Peyton Manning about his brother Eli.
Be ball sacking, okay. If that's the
case. And we know how those guys like to poke fun at each other.
You sure do.
Yeah. If it's a compliment, it's a ball sack.
Okay, well, this is not a compliment, so maybe this is football. As the story reads, most people don't know that Cooper, Arch's dad, was the most talented athlete in the family. I was the best in school. Eli was different. We didn't think he had the cognitive capacity to play football. Peyton says of Eli, one time when we were kids, I took his tennis ball that dad let him play with in the backyard. He became filled with rage. He picked me up and threw me clear across the yard in a perfect spiral. I've never seen such strength.
Through me.
Dad called it his quote-unquote special power. So we taught him how to throw, taught him a few sentences, and sent him off to Ole Miss. The rest is history.
I love it.
If he said it, he said it tongue-in-cheek, and it's brilliant. I hope it's real.
I bet it's real.
I hope that is
real. He's talked about Cooper being the best athlete before.
Special strength.
So I think this is accurate.
Oh, how beautiful. Look how gorgeous this is.
Oh, we've got
double
potatoes.
Double fisting, Hurtado loaded, baked potatoes.
Attaboy,
here.
Ruben
at
Portillo.
Globe Life Field. Ruben Portillo bringing it strong. Look at that. Oh,
Dawson
my.
Is now. He is,
oh, my.
Dawson is.
Gosh.
Is there anything on there like sour cream
look
or anything like that?
Look at the size of that thing.
That's
old decal. And
oh,
salute to Broadus for he's a jolly good fella.
They got to be injecting these potatoes.
Picking these up.
God knows.
I'm going to take a picture and post them at G-Bag Nation.
Extra large potatoes.
That's a roided baked
that's
potato.
A monster.
Right,
that's a potato football.
Yeah.
That thing's
put
not,
a
business card next to it for scale.
Shout out to Rachel Ring, who's come firsthand to view this.
Rachel's the one who showed the
there's
photo.
There's no way in hell you're eating this with your hands.
Opening.
You can't
meat.
Pick that up.
You can't pick it up.
I mean, you could maybe cradle it.
I was thinking this was your run-of-the-mill regulation potato.
Nah.
That's a potato on steroids.
Nah, I'm not kidding you.
Steroid
that's
potato.
Probably five baked potatoes in one.
Can we show it
right?
on the camera?
Would you guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
please.
God, it's
a good idea.
Look
at
the tonnage.
Oh, there's jalapenos.
Walter, you gotta hold this.
Am I holding it the right way there?
Yeah, that's good. See, the queso's going to make that really hard to, that's going to be a messy.
I think the general size of this thing, I might have bit off more than I could chew.
Well, yeah, you did.
Just, I mean, I didn't know
time.
It was a freaking football.
Yeah, that is the size of a football.
Baked potato. Hold that thing.
That is the
please
size
hold
of a
it, Walchuk.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to two-hand it.
I almost fingered it. You do have to two-hand it. Oh, this is like at least 3 pounds.
I was going to say,
at least 3 pounds.
That's a newborn baby.
Golly.
Wrapped up in a potato sleeve.
This is gushing with God knows what's
looks incredible.
This. It does look great, but that's a hefty. It's like a torpedo bat.
That's more than I signed up for.
Yeah,
but I signed up for it.
That's
so
large. And
here we are. I'm looking forward to that. All right, now let's go ahead and let's talk a little. Let's talk some backs. Actually, first we have to acknowledge what Julio Jones hanging him up.
Oh yeah, Julio Jones officially retired.
Officially
retired.
He's been unofficially retired for the last probably 3 or 4 years.
I guess he was like trying to maybe consider playing last year, but nobody called. So now he's officially retired. He sent in
his
papers.
You hate to see it. I mean, the man was washed up for a good 4 years before he retired. I bet a little self-awareness, Jules.
Man, tell you what, I'm hungry, though.
13 seasons, 7-time Pro Bowler.
Go for it.
What could have been?
I'll go for it here in a moment. Now, we did have an anonymous NFL executive likening Ben Johnson to Sean McVay, and the void for the Lions offense is going to be huge.
Okay.
Ben Johnson took total advantage of the 4-down game management approach from Man Campbell because he's really, really good at play calling. He's an evil genius, is what he said. He says losing him would almost be like the Rams losing Sean McVay.
Wow.
Oh. If that proves true, I mean, that'll be an interesting case study. In the same division, how well can Ben Johnson acclimate to being the head man for what has been a disaster class of a franchise for many years? Can he propel them into some level of playoff conversation all the while, same division, now that the Lions have been torn down from a staff standpoint because it's also Aaron Glenn on the defensive side? Man, we saw how tough that was for the Eagles the first time around.
You know, I like the comparison that it could be as bad as losing McVay. I just can't go to Ben Johnson's as good as McVay because what you mentioned there, managing the team and everything, it's just it's tough. I think you could be tactically and schematically the best and fail as a head coach because of the responsibility of leading those men and all those other coaches.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a massive job, and a lot of people just don't have the fortitude, the character, the charisma, whatever it takes to be the leader of all of them.
The other news from earlier we mentioned, but the Chargers have signed former Cowboys backup quarterback Trey Lance to a 1-year deal worth up to $6.2 million. So he doesn't have to go to, what was that, Saskatchewan?
CFL.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Harbaugh probably know what to do with him.
Yeah.
And that's to stop
maybe
pretending like he'll ever be a good thrower.
Yeah, that's just to hand the ball off, really. That's what you do with Trey Lance. You
yeah
give him the ball to hand it to another guy.
You run with him. You know, you throw sparingly, and you hand off with him. And if you're doing that, then I think he's got a decent chance of getting you a win in the regular season if the schedule sets up while your guy's out.
Colorado Buffaloes had their pro day today, and Deion Sanders promised his son Shiloh a brand new car if he clocked in a 4.4 on his 40-yard dash. What do you think Shiloh ran?
4.5 or 4.7.
He was 4.5 plus, I'm sure, like 4.53.
4.52 and a 4.59 were the two times for old Shiloh.
4.52, 4.59. You split that's 7. That's 4.55.
Yeah. So
I'll take the over.
He will not be getting the 4.4 speed vehicle that his father promised him. It is crazy that Deion could be that fast, that explosive and athletic, and his sons, yes, they are like general human population, extreme athletes, but on NFL standards, they don't even come close. Like, Shador Sanders is not some Lamar Jackson type. If you were telling me that Deion Sanders' son was going to be playing quarterback in the NFL, you'd be like, okay, is he Jaden Daniels? Is he Lamar Jackson? Is he Kyler Murray? It's like, no, he's not really super mobile. He's not a super speedster. Shiloh, who's a DB, same thing.
It just shows the genetic lottery that you got to hit, even if your parents got it. Mm-hmm. You know, you still. It's so rare that a great has another kid that's a great. Like, the Manning family might be the rare exception. You know,
the Griffey son might be better than the dad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Griffey Jr. better than Griffey Sr. Is there another Griffey coming?
No. I was just saying that.
I mean, the Kachucks right now in the NHL, that's a heck of a family.
The Kachucks are pretty right about that. That's true.
But usually it's like 50-50, right? Like, if you're super fast and your spouse is super slow, your kid's going to have average speed, right? Usually it doesn't, like, lock on to the best one.
It's funny you say that, because Odell Beckham's mom was a track athlete at LSU.
Yeah.
And dad was a football player.
Yeah, you got to get both.
You got to get both. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Somebody said that
poor Abby.
I did mention the other day, the 817, saying that once I looked at the potato, I'd be able to ballpark how many bites it would take. I'm thinking 25 bites on this.
25
thing.
Bites?
Add a one to that.
Is
bro.
That bigger than what you
it's
thought it was?
125 bites.
125? Yes, it's bigger than I didn't think it was going to be bigger than your dome, bro.
I'm so
I didn't
happy
think it was
right
going to be Bochy's size.
He did
dome.
Get the bigger of the two, by the way.
Oh, man.
Brian. Yeah, I did get the bigger of the two.
Oh,
yeah. It's fine.
You should.
Now we're He's used fine. To that.
Oh, my father in law just walked by.
Unbelievable.
That's who that was smiling at us?
Yep.
Salute to
Big
you, sir.
Big Tolo right there.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
Thank God.
Congratulations.
Okay.
On the son in law of the year.
We have some sound. Saquon Barkley.
Did you just kind of wave him off?
I thought he was going to try and jump on air. I'm like, I don't need you telling any stories about me.
You kind of shoot off your father-in-law.
He did. He kind of gave him the wave, like, don't embarrass me. Don't
get
embarrass
out of
me.
Step back. Stay behind
me. He's awesome.
It's a proud grandpa right there. You can see it in his eyes.
Yeah, he is, man.
Man, he's like, what the hell are you doing here working?
Saquon Barkley was on Hot Ones.
he was on Hot Ones?
He's on Hot Ones.
Nice.
And
that's a weak challenge.
Oh, jeez.
The Hot Ones sauces are actually not that
weak. We've done this. We were eating them with steak. It was weak. Weak challenge.
We did enjoy them, but everybody handled
it
differently.
Bro, you did not have a problem with that.
No, we didn't.
Dawson, just cut it in half.
We were
going on the side. There you go.
Dawson's digging into the HGH, human growth hormone,
like,
potato.
Injected with something, man.
He looks
they don't
like
make
he
potatoes like this
tasted
normally.
A little bit of heaven.
It's injected with barbecue brilliance.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay, here's Saquon Barkley. Talking on Hot Ones about his Welcome to the NFL moment featuring Hall of Famer Julius Peppers.
Going from college to the NFL, like, were there any moments that stand out in your memory?
I kicked a little bit at the end.
Yeah, okay. Right. I think it heard you talking a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story. Julius Peppers, obviously unbelievable talent. My rookie year, we had a play, and I broke it outside and kind of got blown dead. I think it was a flag on it. And he had me, like, right here, like, had, like, by my shoulder pads. And, like, I'm like, he's trying me. So I went like this. Like, I tried to hit his arm down and didn't move. And I tried to hit it again and didn't move. And then I'm looking at him like, all right, bro, like, come on. Like, let me go. And then that's, like, when I realized that, like, there's a difference between, like, grown men strength and, like, being strong in the weight room. And, yeah, that was probably, like, my most humbling moment of my life, not just on the football field, but as a man, too.
Dude, Julius Peppers is one of the biggest physical athletic freaks this world's ever seen.
No question.
Yeah, two-sport athlete, UNC, incredible pass rusher for many years. But, I mean,
he won the Green Bay, you know, we talk about the Green Bay-Dallas playoff game. That fumble he caused to DeMarco Murray.
That's right.
That really was the difference in that game.
Yeah.
Dallas was going in to score.
Big-time player. Mm. But they showed the clip of it where Julius Peppers is just not letting him go. And Barkley's, like, doing everything he can, bashing his hands off him.
Let me go.
And he's just not flinching at all.
That's the way I felt shaking Leonard Davis's hand back in 2010. I was like, good Lord.
That's a bear paw.
Yeah. Very.
With the big sweaty glove on?
Yes. Had a big sweaty glove on.
Yeah.
We'll close it down with
like a hockey locker room after that.
Your Ashton Jeanty stat of the day. He was met at or behind the line of scrimmage 347 times during his career at Boise State.
Never
so he's getting
loss.
The ball, and he's at the line of scrimmage, or he's in the backfield when he's being contacted by defenders. He gained almost 1,500 yards after contact on those runs, resulting in over 1,000 yards gained. Jeanty is the first running back to ever top 1,000 yards on runs where initial contact occurred at or behind the line of scrimmage.
Damn.
He's special, man.
He is, dude.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And Julius Peppers wouldn't want anything to do with that guy.
I just can't believe we're at a spot now where it's considered just about a foregone conclusion that he will not be available. No way for the Cowboys at 12. It is time now for that one segment of the week where you're encouraged to call in while drinking. It's what you're drinking and what you're thinking here at 877-881-1053. Ross Lebensky will get your phone call screened up. We'll have a baseball chat with Eric Nadell, and then we'll jump into your phone calls here.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
G-Bag Nation. All right, welcome back. We are live at the Globe here. It's the G-Bag Nation, the Comerica backyard here, suite level center field, where Eric Chiafalo is attempting to take down this new Hurtado baked potato with brisket in it. It's just, and he's killing it. He's a machine. He is an absolute machine. And I think he'd had to cut it in half, but he is doing it with his hands.
Well, so the back part fell off.
Oh, it broke.
So it broke in half, and honestly, the back part looked like a normal-sized potato.
But he is more than halfway through this thing, like 5 minutes into it, and an absolute monster of the cuisine world here. It's our very own Eric Chiafalo. Your phone call is coming up in just a second. It's a What You Drinking, What You Thinking Friday. A lot of stuff to react to, but it is time now for the Eric Nadell Show, brought to you by Tylock Georgia Eye Care and by TXU Energy. And a good afternoon, Eric. How the heck you doing up there?
I am doing great. I wish I'd known you guys were out here. I would have wandered out to where you are. But, sorry I wasn't aware of it.
All good, man. It is always good to see you, but we'll have to catch up with you next time, or maybe we'll make our way up there during the game, Eric. But first question, if you are nervous about the offense this offseason, what did the first couple of series do for you there? Where are you at with it?
Well, it's interesting. The Rangers are in the same situation as a lot of other clubs in that they're not scoring runs. The league average for runs is barely over 4 runs a game. You know, over the course of the season, it'll wind up around 4.5 runs a game probably. You look at the team batting average at 192. Runs average just over 2.5 per game. They have some company down around there, including the Astros and Seattle in our own division. And you look at their earned run average at 290, which is third best in the league. You know, these are numbers that are not going to hold up either way. So you don't want to draw conclusions this early. But the most encouraging thing, I think, has been the performance of Jacob deGrom and Jack Leiter in the Ranger rotation, who certainly would have been considered question marks, you know, coming into spring training anyway.
Yeah, those couple of starts were so energizing for, you know, fans wanting to see this team have success this year. Now, put context around Leiter's 2 games here. Is it too early to say he's arrived?
I don't think it's too early to say. I think it's clear that he has calmed down now, which I think was the biggest problem last year. He looks like a different guy out there. He's not fidgety. He's not jumpy. He looks totally poised. You know, unfortunately, this blister of his may set him back a while. You know, Bruce Bochy was talking today about the possibility that Leiter might have to miss a couple of starts, might actually go on the injured list. They're going to make a decision sometime in the next hour on that. But, you know, he'll be back soon enough, and I'm very encouraged by what he's done so far. On the other hand, you know, Kamar Rocker had a rough start. His command was very poor. Tyler Mahle had a bad start. His command was very poor. And you need those two guys to turn it around, and we'll see if Mahle can do it tonight.
Eric, the big storyline first week of the season has been the torpedo bats. I mean, you've seen it all in your time in Major League Baseball. What's your takeaway? Is this much ado about nothing? Are you super intrigued by this? What are your thoughts on the torpedo bat?
I'm very intrigued by it. It's definitely not nothing. If a guy has the barrel where the trademark of the bat used to be, then it gives him an opportunity to get jammed somewhat and still get good wood on the ball. It seems to make a lot of sense to me. I know there have been variations of this bat going way, way back, but I think it was the success of the Yankees that has caused everybody to jump on the bandwagon. Apparently, the Rangers have received a couple of the bats. Jock Peterson is going to use one tonight. We know that much. We'll keep an eye out to see if other guys are using it too.
Eric, in your Hall of Fame career, would you have ever believed you would call games in two minor league parks during a regular season?
Probably not. You know, we've played in some weird places. We played in Orlando one year. A few games where the Braves used to have their spring training.
Sure.
We played games against the Rays there. We've played in Puerto Rico in the regular season when the Montreal Expos were playing games there before they moved to Washington. And also we opened the season in San Juan one year as an international game. I'd like to see the Rangers get a chance to play in Mexico or, you know, some other foreign country, Dominican Republic, or go to Europe like, you know, some other clubs have gotten the opportunity to do.
Sure.
Or go to Asia. The Rangers haven't been invited to do that yet, but playing in Tampa at Steinbrenner Field and in West Sacramento in Sutter Health Ballpark will certainly be an interesting experience.
It's Eric Nadel here with you on The Fan. Speaking of interesting experiences, historic runs of 1-0 games, Eric. You ever seen anything like this?
Not quite like this. I do remember some, you know, really memorable 1-0 games. You know, most notably, in 1980 was my second year on this job. On opening day, the Rangers played the Yankees, and the Yankees were a total powerhouse back then. And it was a 0-0 game until the 12th inning on opening day. John
wow.
Matlack was the Ranger pitcher. He was the guy who always seemed to get no run support. Ron Guidry was pitching for the Yankees that day.
Jeez.
They went to extra innings, 0-0. The starters came out of the game, and in the 12th inning, the Yankees had Goose Gossage on the mound, future Hall of Famer. He gave up an infield hit to Mickey Rivers. The third baseman threw the ball away. Rivers wound up at second. Bump Wills bunted him over to third, and then the Yankees walked the next two batters intentionally. They walked Al Oliver and Buddy Bell intentionally to set up the force at the plate. Richie Zisk was at the plate.
Oh, let's go.
All the Rangers needed was a sacrifice fly or maybe a slow ground ball that they couldn't turn a double play on. Gossage uncorked a wild pitch. Richie never even got to swing the bat, and the Rangers won 1-0 in 12 innings before a sellout crowd. It was a nationally televised game, and that's the 1-0 game that really stands out in my mind that the Rangers won.
So a Greg Nettles era led to a Rangers victory here?
Yeah, it was actually Greg Nettles. That is correct.
Yeah. All right.
Eric, your hometown Mets are doing something amazing with ballpark food. Every other day we're seeing stuff that's like, you know, talk radio worthy. What's going on up there? Are they trying to make that ballpark like a food destination?
I hope so. We're going there later on this year. I'm looking forward to trying out some of that stuff. We're not going there till September, so they should have all the wrinkles worked out by then, and it should be a gourmet feast when we go to New York.
All righty, sir. Well, enjoy the game. Thanks for your insights on all things baseball. Anything else before we let you go?
Well, we want to put in a plug for the birthday benefit concert. This year, we're moving it to the Longhorn Ballroom on May 29th. Tickets are already on sale at longhornballroom.com. Shiny Ribs and Secret Sisters will be the groups performing, and all the money goes to the Grant Halliburton Foundation. So check it out, longhornballroom.com, May the 29th, which is an off day during a Ranger homestand.
The Eric Nadel Show brought to you by Tylock George Eye Care and TXU Energy. Have a great weekend, sir. Catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the game.
Salute. There he goes, the great Hall of Fame announcer of your Texas Rangers, Eric Nadel. And it is time now for What You Drinking
and what You Thinking
at 877-881-1053. Let's go around the room. Woo. As Eric Chiafalo is in the last handful of bites of this loaded brisket baked potato from Hurtado at the Yard. I had half of one, split it with Broadus. Thank you so much for picking that up for us. I would say absolutely delicious. So what I'm drinking is a 20-ounce Diet Coke, and what I'm thinking is the the barbecue that Hurtado was putting down here at the Globe is the best food you'll have at a sporting event anywhere. I think they've made history, and I think they have set a new standard for cuisine at sporting events. Hopefully the rest of the world follows suit, Brian, because yeah, I could use some barbecue like that wherever I go.
I'm going to second this. I'm drinking just currently a water, but I'm thinking also, too, though, it's rare that you go to a place and think, you know, you have an idea of what you think it might be.
Yeah.
And then the expectations of it is kind of like, it's just going to be okay.
It exceeds everything you thought.
It's everything that, I mean, it's everything and more when it comes to the use of a giant potato with queso, chopped beef, all this, the scallions in it, everything about it. Mm. I was thinking, this is just going to be one of those things that's thrown together. This thing was made with some love. And yeah, I'll tell you what, it is worth every penny that you're going to pay to get one.
I think Brandon Hurtado might be the GOAT. Well, Chuck, what do you think? What are you drinking? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'd co-sign that. I've been sipping on some water, some high-quality H2O, trying to stay hydrated throughout the show. I am thinking about this game tonight. It is kind of sad that we're looking at a Rays team that has no idea where they're going to be playing because you don't know about this Tropicana Field situation. But I am putting in the call for the Burger Bomb. Pre-game, he got to go out there, take a picture with the daughter and the family. He was looking good during batting practice. I think you get your first Jake Berger homer here at home tonight. I'm looking forward to it right off Little.
Bag it up.
You all right? You about to take a nap?
Chief.
No. Look,
I'm really impressed. One,
I'm about to take something that rhymes with nap.
Wow. I think I see brisket in the whites of your eyes.
Yeah, that thing was incredible.
I think you meant crap.
It was daunting. It was heavy. I love that they're clearly injecting that thing with the queso.
Yeah.
Because, like, you get to the middle of
you
it.
You get to the middle of
like,
it.
Oh,
yep.
My gosh.
It,
this is where it's a queso.
You're absolutely right. Really cheesy
that's
heaven.
That's what it was.
That was really special. I'm thinking about our guy, Kenny. Kenny from Quinlan. Mm. Been seeing some stuff, people just talking about him on Facebook and stuff this week. And so I was like, man, we gotta show some love to our guy.
Like, when is the one-year anniversary? It's got to be kind of coming up.
The legendary Ken Dog. Yeah, I don't know exactly. I don't know.
I thought
what.
It was during football season. Wasn't it like in
was
September?
We were
getting ready to have a show. I know that.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
We were about to have a show.
It was.
We were getting ready to have a show on a Monday or something like that.
Yeah,
we were getting ready to have a
show. Salute to you and you. And that's well said, Chief. Appreciate that. Everybody go out there and have a shot or two of rock and roll tequila this weekend and pour one out for your guy, Kenny, in Quinlan, an absolute legend. Let's go back into the Pimp Cup where Ross Lubinsky has been filling in for Lucius Alexander these last couple of weeks, doing a hell of a job. What you drinking, what you thinking, Ross?
Hey, fellas, this is actually Jacob. Ross is setting up the Rangers game. I'm drinking some high-quality H2O, just like Brian is. And I can't stop thinking about what Chiafalo's eating over there. I'm just trying to figure out when I get myself to the ballpark and try out that baked potato.
All right, let's hit these phone calls then. You said your name's Jacob?
Jacob, yes,
yep.
Sir.
Right on. Thanks for helping us out tonight.
Absolutely.
Who are we going to first?
We got Polo and Garland first.
What up?
What up?
Evening, Polo. What
hey,
you drinking?
Happy Friday, fellas. Hey, yep. Chiafalo, you know you my dude, Chiafalo. But what you need to do, the next time you're in Oak Cliff, I don't know if you've ever been to Oak Cliff before, go on 35 in Illinois, it's the coolest barbecue. Ooh, I love Hurtado's because y'all turned me on to Hurtado a couple months ago when I met y'all up there.
Yep.
But y'all need to go to Coolidge Barbecue if you want to get you up one of the best baked potatoes in Dallas.
I love
now,
it. Thank you.
What I'm thinking is, fellas, I don't know if y'all ever seen Sydney Carter, the assistant coach of Texas, but that girl is bad.
She's
and,
a fashion plate.
I'm rooting on my Longhorns. I know we may not beat South Carolina, but I'm proud that y'all made the Final Four. Let's go, Longhorns. And, Broadus, I see that your girl, Flarte Johnson, is coming back, but if she's coming back to LSU, that's not a guarantee yet. And it's sad that they're not paying these girls money and these girls are coming back to school versus going to the WNBA. That's just messed up, y'all. I love y'all. Y'all have a good Friday. And what up, Kenny? I still love you, buddy. And Rodeo Ron, hey, man, I ain't supposed to see you in almost a year. I'm glad that you done turned put that bottle down, my dude. I love y'all. Gotta go. Bye.
There he goes,
yeah, Polo
and Garland.
Good for you, bro.
Have a good weekend. At 877-881-1053, that does open a line. Who else might we hear from tonight? In this majestic Friday evening, you got the NCAA tournament going on, Mavs and Stars in action, Cowboys draft now just 20 days away. Thanks for, staying up to date on all of it with us here on The Fan. Who's next?
We got Ryan and Richardson coming up next.
Hey, guys. It's been a couple weeks since I called last. I'm drinking some water, and I will be drinking. You know I'm drinking when I get home tonight.
That's right.
Some Jack Daniels and Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah.
My heart has not exploded yet, so I'm going to keep going. So, anyways, what I'm thinking is, these Rangers, I've been able to watch the game on Channel 33. I think it's only been one or two. But I've been listening to it on the fan and keeping up with it. And, I thought Jack Leiter was going to be a bust, but these last two starts, he looked and sounded really good. And I got the feeling that that if our bats could open up like they did in 23, we have a really, really good shot at making the World Series again. Because I don't know. I mean, we might be the best team in the American League.
You're here.
Yeah.
Oh, there he goes. We lost him.
Oh, Ryan, there we go. Thank you.
Richardson, thanks for the call. I'm feeling World Series as well.
I am too, man.
I just hope Jack Leiter's blister is all right. This is a pretty serious blister here.
That sounded serious.
A couple of weeks.
Annoying.
I don't know what happened to Ryan's call there, but it's good to hear from you. This guy is holding it down for the Jack Daniels and Mountain Dew, though, isn't he?
He does.
He loves
every
that.
Week.
Jack he loves that baby. Cocktail. And I was surprised. We looked into it a couple of months ago. It's like that's kind of what it was originated for.
Absolutely.
Mountain Dew was built to be a mixer for JD.
It's crazy.
He would have thought it.
Just He's a heart attack away, aren't we?
We respect his consistency.
That's a Southern legend if I've ever heard one right there.
I'll tell you what, man. My guys in the pit crew, that's all that Mountain Dew, that keeps them up for those 24-hour races.
Yeah. Yeah, my cousins, they worked at restaurants in rural Indiana, and they just be buzzing around that place, hopped up on Mountain Dew like crazy. Nope. It is the official soda of the Midwest. I know that much. Where are we going next, Jacob?
Up next, we got Dulsack in Dallas.
Oh.
What's up, Dulsack?
Dope Sick Dave. What's going on, guys?
Oh, Dope Sick Dave. What's up, homie?
What up, dude? What you drinking? What you thinking?
Just some water right now. We'll, driving home, we'll crack one open later. Two things. One quick thing about the Mavs and then about the Cowboys. I don't know if y'all have been to a game, a Mavs game, since our Lord and Savior was traded to the Lakers. And I know I've been optimistic about the Mavs season playoff chances, but I went to the game the other night with a friend, Bob Pickett, and I won't support the Mavs financially. It is not... I didn't even have to hold myself back from clapping. I didn't clap once. I'm like slightly holding my breath every time Anthony Davis is falling on the ground. He barely got nicked on the nose and on the face by Gaffer. Next thing you know, he's got a fat band-aid over his eye. I mean, he is street clothes Davis. And yeah, great game winning shot, but it's not the same. But I'm going to the game next week. It's going to be NBA Finals vibes with Luka, and I'm cheering for Luka. And one thing about the Cowboys, real quick.
I think we lost you, Dope Sick Dave. I don't know, something I could barely hear the phone call there a couple of times, but I did get in some good Mavs talk from you there.
Yeah,
and appreciate that. I that's coming across the television. It's a Morgan there. Nico totally zapped the soul of basketball out of DFW.
Yeah.
So I think people that are going there are just like, wow, kind of stunned with how flat the building is. I don't know to what extent next week Luka brings that back temporarily, but that is the funeral.
Well, Dave.
Next week is the official funeral and the end of the Mavs in Dallas.
I think I heard Dave say that it was going to be kind of electric there. Maybe not the word electric, but he was
it'll be
playoff,
yeah.
playoff intensity atmosphere. Basketball. That's what I think he was saying. I'm like Dawson. I had some problems here and there a little
bit. Yeah, but it's going to be a weird thing where a majority of even the home crowd is rooting for the road superstar.
Who knows? Yeah. There's no way.
The fans might get whipped up to a frenzy to cheer for Luka. Because they hate Nico so much. I don't know. I think it's going to be surreal.
It is.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's kind of like quiet, too, and just people are stunned with what they're actually observing.
It's going to be weird.
Is it the biggest sports tragedy in DFW sports history now that we have a couple of months' perspective on this? I don't think that's overstating it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have deaths.
Or just like Jerry heartbreaking Brown. Losses and big moments where you let things slip away.
A player in his prime like that, I don't think that's ever happened.
I don't know how you recover from that.
Hurts worse? No doubles, Nelly Cruz, D Wade parade to the free throw line, or trading Luka? I think those are.
Yep.
Dwight Clark the catch.
Dwight Clark's catch was pretty. I cried that day.
Romo, PAT fumble.
Seattle.
The Jimmy Jerry divorce.
Yeah,
that's a big time. What could have been?
Cool. Tom Landry getting let go. That was sad for me too.
This is it's going to be amazing because next week will, you know, I think bring a little bit of closure to it, but the wound will never totally heal, and it's I think indefinite what happens with the future of this organization. Okay, let's go back to the phone calls as we're in the midst of what you're drinking and what you're thinking here at 877-881-1053. If you want to try to get in, we'll take as many as we can as L.A. will make his return next week. And I've done a horrible job fumbling L.A. live for 2 weeks. So out of respect for him, we're just going to take phone calls all the way to the top tonight. You'll get L.A. back next week, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Where are we going next with these phone calls, buddy?
We got Reggie and McKinney.
Reggie.
What's up, Reggie?
What's up, my brother?
Yeah.
Evening, Reg. What you drinking?
A little shot of Crown, followed by a cold Heineken.
Ooh.
Live it up. What you thinking?
I'm thinking that the Rangers are going to be okay. We will probably win the West. And as far as the Cowboys, I'm really concerned about who we're going to draft and how effective that person that we draft is going to be.
Appreciate the call and the thoughts, Reggie. I agree. I think the Rangers are going to be okay. You know, and a lot of that's because the division is not good. And you get me to the playoffs healthy with Eovaldi and DeGrom. I think they're winning the World Series if they make the playoffs. That's what I think, Brian.
I like what you're saying.
And I know you're a little concerned the Cowboys won't get a good player.
Well, I'm concerned that, you know me, I'm selfish. And I'm concerned they're going to take a guy that I have others above.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys they're talking about are in the level of where I would take, you know, what I consider, but I think I'm going to have some others higher. I think they'll make the right pick. I really do.
How's that baked potato sitting with you, Chief?
It's heavy. It's absolutely heavy. I'm going to be either using these particular Ranger facilities, but I don't want to do that to the fan base. So I'm going
to
try and make it
home. Eric?
It's going to be touch and go on the ride
home.
A lot of jalapenos in that bad boy.
Eric, you know what you need to do is go into the family area.
Oh, just paint the walls in there
the
for the next mom
area,
who's got to change a diaper.
You can lock the door. Yeah. I mean, they're used to, like, baby smell.
We got
there.
One right around the corner here.
Yeah. They're used to baby smell. You can do it.
All right, back to these phone calls. Where are we going next?
We got Big Jim coming up next.
Oh,
Big Jim. What you drinking? What you thinking, Jim?
Well, say, fellas, whiskey this afternoon brought us. I want to give you kudos on your Joe Milton report, and I think you were the only person that was sort of calling that. So kudos to you. I know you did some hard work up there getting Patriots. I want to say too, I thought it was a good trade. So as much as we beat on Derry and Steven,
sure,
probably less on Will, give them credit for that.
Yes,
boy, I want to say something. I tell you that it's a treasure to hear Eric Nadell on an interview with
Absolutely. You fellas.
You know, you look at Eric Nadell and Brad Sham, what we got there in the Metroplex with those two great voices, legendary, just pure legend. It's so good to have them. So I really appreciate you guys giving him some time on Fridays, and we get to hear from him. He's a cultured feller too. That's the thing I like about Sham. They're not one trick ponies. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for the joy this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
There he goes, Big Jim.
Thank you, Big Jim.
Always bringing it.
Maybe fighting those allergies like Woolchuck or whatever that is. There's
drinking
some crud
whiskey
going on
though.
Out there.
Some drinking whiskey.
The whiskey might help.
Whiskey's flowing down there. Yeah. Big Jim. I imagine Jim on a ranch. You know, like Dallas, the opening scene of the TV show.
Yeah.
That's where I imagine Jim calling in from. He just got off a horse.
Maybe sitting out on the porch making the call to us.
Absolutely.
In a rocking chair.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, where are we going next?
We got Rodeo Ron.
Here we go.
Another one. What you drinking? What you thinking, Ron?
I'm drinking that Zero Sugar Fruit Punch Body Armor.
There you go.
Kenny passed away August 21st of last year, gentlemen.
Thank you, Rodeo Ron.
There we go. Thank you for that, sir.
And I'm thinking it's crazy. It's already April. We got the Final Four. We got WrestleMania. The draft is right around the corner, and hopefully Jerry Jones won't screw it up or the season up like Nico did with the Mavs and their future. But thankfully, we have the Stars that are playing great. The Rangers are off to a good start. And thankfully, I'm 25 days sober. And
there you
remember
go, sir.
One thing. If you're not hanging out with Rodeo Ron, listening to that G-Bag Nation sober, then where the F you at, baby?
Ron.
Good Rodeo stuff, Ron. Great call, Ronnie. Keep it going, buddy.
Congratulations. Coming up on that 30 days. How do you get a coin for that?
I don't know if he's a friend of Bill Debbie or anything like that, but I think you do get coin 30 days.
That's a good deal for him, man.
Year,
sounds
5 years.
Good. Sounds good.
I'm coming up on 10 in September.
10 years.
I'm just right ahead of Fred Davis.
That's amazing.
Matter of fact, which is crazy.
Was there? Did you ever do any type of? Was it just a
cold turkey?
A solo mission, cold turkey? There wasn't any like a
treatment
AA meeting situation. Something
way
like
back
that?
In the day, I went to like 5 AA meetings once.
Okay,
when I passed out and missed out on a chance to go courtside to an NBA game.
Wow!
Oh, I was like,
that's rock bottom.
I was like, yes, that's that might be a sign I got a problem here.
Yeah.
I kind of got drunk.
That's a rough one.
Didn't go to the game. So, and then like, yeah, but that was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
I learned some stuff there. I would recommend it for people. There's some value.
It was helpful.
Oh, I've heard great things.
Yeah. Where are we going next, buddy?
We got Brian in Rockwall.
What's up, Brian?
What you drink? What you think,
Brian? How are y'all?
Awesome. Good, you? Bro.
Excellent. Thanks for having me on. What I'm drinking is some ice water right now, fixing to get me a little bit of Angel's Envy here in just a minute. In the meantime, what I'm thinking is I wanted to call and clear up something from last week. You guys keep talking about my favorite sandwich down in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to clear up the proper enunciation of it. You know,
okay.
The English language is a weird thing. Words like knee, that you don't say it, knee. All right? So you don't say a muffaletta, muffaletta. It is a muffaletta. M-O-O-F-A-L-A-D-A.
Muffaletta.
How you pronounce it? So
muffaletta.
Going forward, guys, it's muffaletta.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that, B-Rye, because that was a hotly debated topic when we barged into New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Is it muff? Is it moof? Is it latta? Is it letta? Yeah. There was a lot of muffaletta. There was a lot of discourse involved here, but I'm going to let you be the final judge and the official arbiter of... What is it called?
The muffaletta.
The muffaletta. There it is. Yeah. It's officially moved.
Muffaletta.
It's move season.
Muffaletta.
Appreciate you, right. Man. And like I say, I'm out here in the United States of Rockwall, and I'm going to start calling in a little more frequently, man. So
notice
my name. Y'all take care.
Salute. Cheers. Here goes Brian in Rockwall, setting us straight on a Louisiana culinary legendary item, that muffaletta. A
lot of really good cold cuts in that thing, man. All about the bread. Mm.
You know, I can't get past that olive spread they put on there. Like,
top
it might
odd.
Be
the,
good,
the olive
but
top
as I'm
odd.
Reading the ingredients, I'm like, can't do that.
If you went no spread, you'd like the sandwich.
Can we replace that
delicious.
With a nice brown mustard?
Brown mustard, we get it done.
Where are we going next, buddy?
We got the drizzle.
Drizzle, what you drinking?
Hey,
what you thinking?
Drinking a little PX whiskey. Gavin, I think you're holding it down for Lucius's LA
okay.
Live.
Did all right, thank you.
Yep. You're doing good. And I want to refer back to, like, the most painful sports moments. Luka leaving replaced the worst possible feeling that we all dealt with, and that was the Rangers losing in 2011 to the Cardinals in some crazy baseball drama. That stung. Even winning the World Series since 2023 has helped, and it's awesome, it's amazing, but that hurt. So Luka leaving, that's the new replacement pain. Sports pain, Dallas pain.
Well said, Drizzle. Appreciate the call. Opens a line at 877-881-1053. I mean, I think 2011 might be the only thing that really compares, along with maybe moving on from Jimmy, because it's not just what it did in that moment. It's what it does for the next 10 years. And, you know,
exactly.
That might be irreparable.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of the feelings are, I mean, when it's a championship moment like that, that's a lifetime of knowing that you should have been a champion on this date and you're not. So those championship-type moments like 2011 with the Rangers, that to me is where it becomes an equal playing field, because it's such a big-picture situation. This wasn't a single moment that, okay, you wake up the next day and you try to put the pieces back together. Those pieces are never coming back together.
No, it's irreplaceable what you've lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's going to require a relocation of the team, at least a selling of the team. In order for this fan base to have a chance to reconnect with a pro basketball team in here, I think it's fatal. That's a terminal move.
Stunning.
Yeah, unbelievable. Who's next, buddy?
We got another call from Rockwall. This time it's Rob.
What you drinking? What you thinking, Rob?
drinking water and sipping a couple of things. Going to touch on some few topics here. I think that Luka trade is probably the worst thing ever. I do have a question about that relocation thing, though. We get to keep the statue, though, right, when they move to Vegas?
Yes, please.
Yeah, Dirk's always ours.
We'll bid on it.
All right. And then I'm also thinking that nobody is talking nearly enough about Alex Ovechkin about to break this goal record thing. I mean, it's like one of the biggest sports records ever, and nobody is talking about it. Why is
it? It is
that
crazy. I don't know. I bet they're talking about it in hockey towns.
We asked our guest yesterday. Remember, I asked him about if in his professional life or today, would you ever believe that Wayne Gretzky's scoring record would have been broken? And I think there's a lot of people in hockey, there, a lot of hockey fans that just would said no, absolutely not.
It was one of those growing up, it was considered unbreakable, like he was just taking it and putting it way
absolutely
out.
That's
incredible.
Yeah,
and I
really
don't think Ovechkin was ever really kind of celebrated like he should have been.
He survived the health. He survived COVID.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he played for the same team throughout.
Yeah. I think it's just that he's not very good looking at all. You know, that might be it.
Yeah.
Because he's aged.
Well, he also deserves more credit for his championship parade speech that he gave.
That's right.
When he was as in the bag as any championship athlete's ever been.
He was drunk 9 straight years, Dawson.
Well, he continued to just get beat by Pittsburgh. It was like he couldn't get over the hump. For him to finally win that championship, it was like Steve Young winning it with the 49ers. You know, name the player that it took forever to finally get there and get the monkey off your back. So, a legendary career, but you're right. We probably haven't given it enough context.
I mean, and scoring has come down from Gretzky's heyday. It's not as easy to score these days.
No. Goaltending a lot better.
Don't tell that to Wyatt Johnston. Am I right?
All right. Thanks to – right, dude? Absolutely on fire.
Gosh.
Last night's goal was insane.
He might be the next one to break the record.
That's the skill at speed that you look for a telltale sign that you're dealing with a super freak.
Yeah, he's unreal.
Just different. Okay, thanks to everybody who participated in What You Drinking and What You Thinking here on this Friday night live at the Globe. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. 30 more minutes to go until this pregame show. And proper round tripper is next. Well, Chuck, what do you got?
Carl Ravitch's Ohtani comments. Luis Castillo pitching 2 games in a row and a former rideshare driver making history.